You're listening to Charisma Kills Radio with special guest Maris Yelset. Hello and welcome to the show. I'm Jesse Craig, your host, and tonight's episode is a very special episode with the creator of the October 20th webcomic, Maris Yelset. And for those of you listeners out there who wish to make this into a more interactive episode, feel free to take a drink every time you hear me mispronounce Maris's name. And now back to the business at hand. Maris Yelset is a native of Norway and the creator, writer, and artist for his webcomic, October 20th. You can check out Maris's comic at October20comic.com. That's October20comic.com. If you are not familiar with Maris or his work on the October 20th webcomic, you are in for a treat. It's arguably one of the best written webcomics out there. So for those of you who have not passed out from the barrage of shots that you've just had to take, all the way from Norway, here's Maris. Oh, and take a drink. Welcome, Maris Yelset, to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How about you?
I'm doing absolutely fine, and I'm glad to finally be able to get you. I know it's been a struggle trying to coordinate, you know, the times, the time difference of Norway and everything, but finally got you on, man. So it's good to hear from you.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming.
Maris does a comic, October 20th, which you could find at October20comic.com. How would you describe your comic?
I have occasionally, when asked that question, described it as a post-apocalyptic story where the world only ends for the main characters and the rest of society continues around them like nothing has happened. It is a story of two people at the start of it that have gone through a lot of things the last 10 years and have found themselves isolated from the rest of society. And it's pretty much about how they deal with that and how they try to find a solution.
It is one of my favorites. It's extraordinarily well written, and you do a good job of writing in suspense and capturing the characters' individuality and personalities. They're by no means caricatures. They are characters, and they're well defined. And it's just an amazing story. And I hope everyone does check it out. So, what were your influences? What got you started on October 20th?
The story itself it began as a short story I did for a writer's workshop a few years ago. It was, at the time, it only had the one character, Catherine, who's more or less the de facto main protagonist. And it was much more vague than it is at the moment. though a lot of people have said that it is pretty vague the way it is now, but you never learned what she'd done. She was all alone. It was just her and her thoughts. She was going off to meet some unknown fate, and you got her like reflections of what she'd done, what had led her to that point, and stuff like that. It was and it ended completely ambiguously. So and I got some feedback on it, and some good things and some bad things, and I figured I kind of liked the story, and I started to expanding on it, adding characters, adding two more chapters, and eventually I decided to make a webcomic of it.
What and like I had mentioned already, you do a superb job of giving these characters their own personalities, their own feel, and they're international characters. Catherine is American, and yeah.
Rai is from Argentina. Ansgar is from Norway, which I get a bit of free insight from. I try to do a lot of research, but you're always going to get some stuff wrong. I just try to be respectful of actually doing the research, so I get the main beats of the characters and their cultural background right, at least. But I always wanted to be an international cast.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I like about the comic as well is the international feel to it. So as far as your characters go, did you have any specific process in the, you know, of how you went through character development? I know you said you did some research, but did you have ideas already for these characters, and for those who are interested in the subject of writing, like how did you go about with what's your process, I guess, for your character development?
It's a very long process before I first get the idea and until someone actually shows up on the page. I usually don't like sit down and try to break down a character and try to figure out that this is how I want the character to be. This is the character's history, and that I walk a lot during work and such, and that's the time where I get most of my ideas. I get an idea for a character. I mull it over in my head, see which character the idea I just got fits best from. Try out a lot of different versions of it, and I can take it from there. I've never been good at sitting down and brainstorming a character. It kind of has to come to me whenever it does come.
Yeah, I'm like the exact opposite. I have to sit down, and you know, I have to create a character. I got to know who this character's great grandparents were, all the way up, you know, education, employment. I mean, I have like pages and pages written on each character, and I guess that's good for me in the long run as far as continuity and stuff. But it's a hindrance in that it absorbs most of my actual time creating, because I'm always working on, you know, character development and world building and things like that. But some of the visual elements you have in your comic, another thing that I know I've mentioned on your comment section is the attention that you pay to detail. I am so appreciative of that. There's things that I flip through there, and I read through the comic like several times, because I like looking for all the clues and stuff, and I see something else, some other small detail that I didn't see before, and I just think that's amazing. Like, is there anything you can tell us about as far as the detail you add into your visual narrative?
Well, first off, it's the comic has, it hides a lot from the audience. there's a lot I don't tell the readers. I mean, right away, I try to keep it from them for until the time is right to reveal. And to counter that, I like to put in either dialogue or visual hints that a reader that goes through everything in detail can actually pick up on the things that are about to happen, the things that have happened that I haven't told people about. And I like to give the reader a chance to realize what's happening. And I always smile a little when I see in the comments someone is on the right track and has figured out something before they were meant to figure something out. I often have to go in and try to throw them off the scent at that point.
Yeah, it's almost like some of the things that you put into the art are subplot events themselves. Like in one of the pages before the character of Baltimore was introduced, I never realized it, but you know, they're showing a photograph with Baltimore in front of Chernobyl. It just didn't click on me at that time. But then later on, after you introduced the character and then I went back through and read, I saw that and I was like, oh man. So you really have this story planned out, right? I mean, well in advance, you know how it's going
to
end.
Yeah, I have to. If I was doing a story with an open end to it, I would probably just stop doing this at some point. It's a three act structure, very simple, traditional three act structure. And at the end of the third act, the story of my main characters will have been told, and I know how it ends, what the beats are.
You know, I believe that you were the first writer that I talked to that actually mentioned the three act structure to the script writing. I've actually researched that, and it looks like it's a good way to approach writing a script. So, I'm glad I'm not the only one that thinks about that.
It's very tried and tested. It's a style that works, and I like the simplicity of it and the simplicity of the rules behind the three act structure, and decided to latch onto that when I started writing it.
That structure is used in television and theater. I mean, movies. You know, everything in it is, and it works.
Yeah.
Another thing I would like to point out as far as like the visual narrative and how there's sort of this foreshadowing and subplot telling through the art. I know that you didn't do the cover. Is it, that's Arthur Wayne's?
Yeah, Arthur Wang is the name of the guy who painted those. I found him on DeviantArt before I started the thing because I wanted... It's kind of a cheat. I wanted something really eye catching to put on the front page, and he initially was just supposed to do the first cover, but after I got that back and I started doing the comic, I realized I wanted him to do the next two chapters as well. So I got back to him, and he has finished those for me. So I'm really happy with the work he produced.
Yeah, how much interaction did you have with the cover artist?
It was a lot of emails back and forth to get it right. I actually for the character of Rai, I had a lot of pointers to him. I knew how I wanted him, but for Catherine, I gave him complete carte blanche to design a character on his own. Because at the time I asked him to do it, I hadn't really decided, apart from the short story I mentioned earlier, what kind of character Catherine would be. So I figured I'd just throw in a wild card and let him decide, and I would take the character design from there. So she could have been any ethnicity, any hair color. She could have been fat, she could have been skinny. I just gave him complete autonomy for creating her. But for Raya, I had a lot of pointers.
He did an excellent job with the covers. The feel of the cover goes along with the story. Great. To me, it's one of the most powerful covers I've seen in comics recently. Just looking at it, like the emotion of the characters, the gun in the empty position and the knife, it ties the whole cover together, tells the story.
Yeah, I'm singing his praises every chance I get. He did an excellent job. He delivered on time. It was simply a complete joy to work with, and he has provided a lot of influence for the comic itself too.
Yeah, so those of you who are interested, again, it's October20comic.com, and check out this cover. Right. It is simply amazing. It goes along with the story very well. And we'll also have on the CK Radio section of the Chris McKill Studios main page show notes for this episode with that, in case you missed something on the recording. You can go there and get it. So I guess your process of world building is the same as what you would do with your characters. You just do some research into it, and you just let it come to you then? Or?
Yeah, the world building involves more like factual research than the character building, of course. I took stock when I was going through the story a couple of months ago, and I realized that there is one or two locations in the story that is not a real world location. It's most of the locations yeah. that the story takes place in are actual physical places in our world. I've had to cheat one or two places in the story, but apart from that, it takes place in our world, and it's quite important to me that which I try to get them as correct as possible.
I don't see a problem with that. A lot of writers do that. I mean, Stephen King has his Castle Rock, and I have a place called Oak Haven that doesn't really exist, but I have put a lot of research into it to try to make it feel real. So the character of Raimundo, he is one of his talents.
He's a free runner,
yeah. The term. What was your inspiration behind him being the free runner?
Quite simply, it is a scene coming up.
Ah, okay.
I don't remember exactly how that scene came about, but I figured I wanted a part in chapter two to be his moment to shine, you know, because I haven't officially set it down in stone that this is my main character, but you see, at least the beginning of the story, and as far as we've gotten to now, you see everything through Catherine's eyes. Any commentary you see is her commentary, yeah. And she is, for all intents and purposes, the main character.
Yeah.
And I wanted to give Raimundo the opportunity to have his moment, and it's coming up in chapter two.
Yeah, I guess another character we didn't talk about, which was one of, I think, everyone's favorite, and then he died, Ansgar. Was it Ansgar Wilhelm? I'm sorry, I don't know if I can pronounce that last name. You might have to do it for me.
Ansgar Skjegstø is how you pronounce that, his name. Again, Norwegian last names are a mess of consonants usually, and pretty hard to pronounce at times. But he was the last character, I believe, that came in when I was doing the outline for it. He didn't really have a place at the start. There were always supposed to be six of them that had this curse or this thing afflicted on them, and he was, I suppose, he was always one of the other four that had died. But I eventually decided that he was going to be another survivor, and I wrote him in from there.
Yeah, I don't want to give it away for people who haven't read the story yet, but I guess I already did.
Yeah, he was. He was a hard character to kill. Though I, for the most part, I knew I was going to do it. I didn't really say it out loud, but I wanted to suggest that he was a broken man after what had happened the year before, and he. I didn't want to say it straight out, but he more or less came back because he wanted one last day with his friends, and he wanted a chance to give them one more year to maybe solve this thing they were in the middle of, because he was checking out, he was done, and decided he wanted to give them one final chance or one more year to actually... And again, that's the name of the first chapter, One More Year.
Well, he was a great character, and I know I'm missing. All right, now I guess the absolute main antagonist, protagonist, well, I don't guess we know yet. I guess the question is always, who is Shields? Is there anything you can give us about Shields?
I can tell you where Shields came from. Back in 2006, I wrote A machinima script that was supposed to take place with Battlefield 2. Machinima, for those that don't know, is you use like computer games to make an animation. And he was one of the characters in that. It was supposed to be completely slapstick and like comedic. He was like a super soldier that no one wanted to work with because everyone thought he was cursed. It was kind of a really silly script, and then I made a trailer of it, I believe, but it never got any further. And years later, I still remembered the character, and I wanted to do something with him, and he eventually turned into the sinister big bad wolf that he appears to be right now. I won't say what his actual involvement in the thing is, but he's an important character to the plot, and I've been trying to build him up as this pretty scary, but someone you don't actually know where you have, and I can't wait for people to meet him.
Like I said, I read through it all quite often, and I sometimes wonder, okay, is this guy really the villain, or does he have some heroic qualities? Part of the fun of the story is trying to figure it all out. Okay, so the October 20th audio drama, would you like to talk about that?
Well, I'm doing trying to do a radio drama, which is the long and short of it. And I guess people should know you're actually starring in it.
I'm still trying to work out how we can get this done. A friend of mine, Firestorm Studios, helped me record that one test scene. I had a little bit of trouble trying to figure out the inflection that you would want it for that character. I guess, like always, I was overthinking everything. I don't know. Was that sort of what you had behind, like a Noor sort of Maltese Falcon kind of Humphrey Bogart?
Yes, absolutely. That's more or less what I wanted. I always try to put like a little twist on it, but and I guess people will have to wait and see what that twist is until the thing is actually done. But I heard your voice on a test reel for this for CK Radio, and I immediately knew that this is the kind of a voice I wanted for the main character in the radio play.
Oh, I appreciate it. You know, I'd been entertaining the idea of doing audio dramas with some of my comics. It was never really my intent for these things to stay just comics. I really wanted to expand out into other mediums of telling the story, but maintaining a continuity. And I was actually looking into the processes of doing audio dramas about the same time that the idea of doing one for October 20th came around. I still owe Rusty Gregoire at Firestorm Studios some artwork for the letting me use the studio. So as soon as I get that done, hopefully we can get back in there and finish that out. I have a few ladies in mind who expressed interest in playing the female part.
I should say that I had actors, well, not signed up. They had agreed to do it from before, but they both evaporated, and since then I have been unable to find the an actress for the female part. I'm still working on that, which is why the radio play should have been finished at this point in the story, because the story in the comic has more or less caught up with the radio play at this moment. But due to certain circumstances, I had to postpone that a bit. But it was always the intention that the radio play wouldn't be vital to understanding the comic.
I actually see no problem with it coming out later. A flashback scene, I guess you could say. Was that the final script, the last one you had sent me?
Yeah, you have the final script right now. In relation to the comic again, it doesn't really affect the main story of the comic directly, but provides some insights into a few of the other characters, and again builds up Shields as the big bad wolf again. It's more of a tool to build a few of the incidental characters that show up in the story and make you understand them a little better.
What is the future for October 20th? Where would you like to see it go? I mean, how far?
So basically the plan is to finish the story at this point, and I'll see where I go from there. I haven't made any concrete plans after that. I do kind of want to tell another story in the same universe, the story of Baltimore LaGrange, another character who was... I was originally supposed to make a comic of her story to begin with, but during more or less of a coin toss, I decided to go with Keta and Rai's story. And we'll see when I'm done what I want to do then.
Well, I guess that's about all the time we have now. Is there anything else you'd like to say that we didn't cover? Anything you'd like to add?
No, I think we've been through pretty much everything.
Well, Maris, thanks for being on the show, and I'd really like to have you back again sometime. And
yeah, just say the word. I really enjoyed this.
All right, well, thanks again.
And that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Charisma Kills Radio with Maris Yalcet. Again, you can check out October 20th at October20comic.com. And incidentally, since the recording of this episode, the October 20th audio drama, Who is Shields Mikulski, is well into post-production. In fact, the music used for the intro and outro of this episode is from that audio drama, and it was created by Thalbot Karavec. Probably another name I'm mispronouncing, so go ahead and take another drink. And don't forget to check out charismakills.com under the CK Radio section for the show notes to this episode with all links and information.